Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of New England Sports 24/7 Radio. I am your host, Scott Bluty, and with me as always is John Opposite Day Leary. Hi, John. How's it going today?
Woo, buddy. I like it.
I did the intro.
You did do the intro. It's Opposite Day, buddy.
Yeah.
I like it. Good job. Good job. Continue. Tell everybody what
Thank
we're
you.
Doing.
Oh, today we're going to be talking about Patriots game last week, which was their first, big test, I think. And then we'll be looking forward to next week's game against the Bengals. We're also going to be looking at the Bruins game tonight and what we can expect from it. And, all things Boston sports right now.
Look at you.
I've been learning from the master.
I'm very proud.
Yeah, you should be.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You just got a taste of Scott Oshansky Bluny going
Oshansky.
In.
Oh, we're going back to Irish name. This is a
no. It's opposite day. I'm just tossing stuff around.
This is our roots right here. The Irish names every week.
Yep. So obviously we're going to talk a little bit about the Patriots, and actually probably not a little bit. Most likely a lot.
We'll split it. Patriots and Bruins.
We'll split it. Yeah, those are the main topics going on right now. So that's fine with me. As you can tell, everybody, it is a recorded episode. Due to the Bruins game that is going to be airing, it's probably playing right now as you're listening to us. Why are you listening to us? If you're a Boston sports fan, you should be watching the game.
And listening to us.
Yes. Well, you took the words out of my mouth.
Because if you don't know so much about it, I'm going to educate all you people, and then you will know about what you're watching.
That's it. See? Yeah. Scott is our Bruins man. So, as long as Daniel Pye is playing, Scott's listening.
Oh, of course. You're my boy.
All right, so let's go ahead and we'll go into this New England Patriots talk here. And I want to talk about a little bit about how the New England Patriots matched up against the Atlanta Falcons. Go ahead.
I think that we were very spot on with saying that was going to be extremely matchup dependent, because it really was a game that was kind of split up into it was more about how could the defense match up with the offense, the Falcons offense, and then how we could exploit their defense. I think that really came through. I think that our defense came up big again, timely stops.
Obviously, I went ahead and made a post on Monday morning on my top three players of the game. And obviously, number one, Akeem Talib.
He saved it from disaster. That game was it was looking like a train wreck.
It could have been. The New England Patriots were up on the Atlanta Falcons by, I believe, at 20 points at some point.
And Sudfeld just, oh.
You know.
Those hands, they're like bricks.
Yeah. You could see how much the New England Patriots are missing Rob Gronkowski in the tight end position, but I do say this, Mulligan. Matt Mulligan. I don't know the guy's first name, but Mulligan, number 88. He went ahead and caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady, which was a pretty sweet throw. I don't know if you noticed it, but Tom Brady was able to get it through two Atlanta Falcons defensive players' hands. I mean, he got it into a window, no bigger than a cell phone, basically, and he was able to land it right inside his hand for a touchdown. So that was. That was a, obviously a turning moment. What I did want to talk about was Kendrell Tompkins. He was actually my number two player of the game. Was it 6 receptions for 121 yards, I believe, is what his
He killed me in fantasy. That's all I know. Six receptions, 127 yards, and one touchdown.
127, yeah. I mean, and the one that Tom Brady threw being under pressure from the defense of the Atlanta Falcons, it was a very wobbly ball, but I tell you what, Kendrell Tompkins jumped right up.
I'm telling you that, he should – Tom Brady should just make it really difficult, because he makes all the difficult catches look really easy, and all the easy catches look like he's a mental case.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So he should just put it in the most, you know, hardest spots to get. He just make him go for those hard catches, because he'll catch them every time.
If not anything, I will thank the Atlanta defensive player. I can't remember the guy's name, whose helmet went ahead and assisted with that catch. I don't know if you noticed, it was tough to see, but the ball actually bounced off his helmet into his hands. So, but the fact that he went up to try to catch the ball is something I haven't seen since, you know, I want to say Randy Moss in 2007, because, you know, at that time, Randy Moss was putting himself, you know, out to dry, basically. So those are my two players of the game. Obviously, my third was Tom Brady, because he did produce, excluding the 4th-and-1 debacle.
Oh, God.
Which basically put the Atlanta Falcons in position to take the game over.
I also want to commend Bill Belichick's use of the run game. And that's something that seen a little bit, not too much of. It's been kind of building. I think that his use of LeGarrette Blount, Stephen Ridley, and Brandon Bolden together, you know, each player had at least 6 carries. You know, Bolden had 6, Ridley had 11, Blount had 9. And you see it, you know, this is – and Blount had a 47-yard crazy run.
Yeah, that was – and that is exactly – I remember at the beginning of the season, we were talking about preseason. That's exactly the speed that I was talking about. Bagarian, he's not a flashy guy. He's not gonna break off Adrian Peterson numbers. But
it's like a brick wall, though. He's like
– Yeah, he's like a brick wall, and you can see it. If he has the smallest hole to get through, he's going to make it through. And
it was like shades of Marshawn Lynch right there. That was like one of the beast mode runs.
That's it. But that's one of the good things about him is a lot of defensive players don't realize how fast he actually is. You know what I mean? Once his train gets going, he's gone. So
I think that he's also like a hard guy to hit. He just looks like a big dude who's like a freaking steamroller.
Yeah. Yeah,
so like, you know, that was impressive to see from him. And it's just, I'm impressed with how even if it's situational, we have 3 running backs that Belichick trusts and use for he can use them interchangeably, but he can also use them for specific roles. It seems like we have a good backfield situation right now with, you know, a running back.
I mean, the thing is, Brandon Bolden actually kind of scared me a little bit on Sunday night. He went down which I thought was actually a knee injury, but he came in 2 plays later, and he was good to go. So
the only injury that scared me was the Dobson injury. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
that was
brutal. The shot, he took a knee right to the head, which
I thought that for anybody was going to be paralyzed.
It. Yeah, I did, too. I did, too. It was one of the scariest things, you know.
It looked real bad.
It did.
Like, it looked scary. I guess he's okay.
Mainly just strained his neck enough.
Yeah, just it seems like it was just a neck tweak or strain. Which I mean, I don't know how. If that was me, I would be, you know, probably dead.
For anybody who didn't see it,
look it up on YouTube.
Look it up on YouTube. Aaron Dobson was diving out for a catch in the end zone, ended up taking a knee to the forehead, which snapped his head back. Very scary sight. His really good friend Ken Bull Tompkins was right there by his side, which I actually want to say that the refs blew a holding call, and you can clearly see that he was held on that play as well. But
yeah, he was. He was held a little bit. And
that's beside the thing. Let's kind of talk about the biggest injury that we've received. Well, I guess not us, but the New England Patriots received on Sunday night, and that is the loss of Vince Wilfork.
Big Vince.
Big Vince tore his Achilles. He's out indefinitely for the season. Possibly, and I'm just saying possibly, could be career ending. However, on Tuesday, he did go under the knife, and it was a successful surgery. So that gives us hope that he will be back. This is, I believe, the same injury that Kobe Bryant had. last season. You know, I don't know. It's just reading headlines, but that for a defensive player, obviously, is
not great.
Not great. And he's a man that pushes off his legs all the time, so that's a big, big loss.
Yeah, and you know,
to you, Scott, my question to you is: who do you see now? Do you see one of our rookies coming in and filling it, or do you think the Patriots will go out and try to find someone to fill the void?
Oh, you know, when you lose Vince Wilfork, you lose so much. You obviously lose, like, you know, an all-star player who, you know, he's like 325 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, he's an apartment complex in one.
Yeah, like he's a big guy, and you know, not only that, but he's such a, you know, morale booster. He's always I think he's a team captain.
I believe he is too. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, just virtually every play he plays at a dominant level of the game, and you know, I honestly have no idea because they kind of built their defensive system the two gap system around Vince Wilfork.
They did.
And it's going to take a unique, like a talented and unique player to kind of, you know.
I will say the kid from Maryland. I'm not exactly. Once again, he's a rookie. I'm not sure. He came into the game on Sunday night, filled the void pretty well. Between him and Tommy Kelly, they held the line pretty well. But Atlanta also didn't run the ball as much after Vince went out, which didn't make much sense. I mean, big, you know, Vince Wilfork, he's basically our son, our run stopper. So it didn't make much sense why they didn't
you know what
try
I wanted
to expose that of the New England Patriots.
A lot of people have been saying that they should go after Richard Seymour.
I heard that as well. I don't think Richard Seymour wants to, one, play at the moment. I think he's enjoying – now, he's not really – he didn't retire. I think he's just enjoying his time off. And two, I don't think he would come and play for the New England Patriots again. I mean, after the way things ended.
Yeah, that's – you know – and, you know, Wilfork is kind of a take-up-room, push-the-pile kind of guy. And
he can take two guys on at once.
Seymour is kind of a speed and strength kind of guy. You know, maybe bringing back Kyle Love wouldn't be such a bad idea. He's currently unsigned. You know, he's not as good as Wilfork, but he knows the defense, and, you know.
I say give it a shot. I mean, you could either bring him back or you can go ahead and trust in the defense that you have now, which, you know, the New England Patriots, they're cheap when it comes to stuff, so they might not bother. But I can't see Richard Seymour coming back to New England unless
but
he's
Kyle
absolutely...
Love isn't a bad. Kyle Love isn't a bad idea.
No, he's not. That's a pretty good name to throw out there. I know that they were saying a couple other people. I think honestly, you're right. Kyle Love would most likely be the best choice. My question is what Carter? I can't. Not Aaron Carter. anyway, he played in the defense.
Andre Carter,
that's it. And he signed with Buffalo. Is he still in Buffalo, or did he? I thought he got cut this off season.
I think he got cut. I think they were working him out earlier this off season, but I think I'm not sure what he's doing right now.
Because I know after 2011. Or is it 12? Yeah, 2011.
Yeah, he's currently a free agent, so that's another option.
He's another option. He played really, really well for us here. He could come down and fill the gap, or at least have Tommy Kelly move, you know, switch over to center or whatever.
But you know, it's ultimately, I think that we're looking at, you know, no one can replace the impact that Vince Wilfork plays. We just look at the best thing that we can get.
Well, that's it. Or, I mean, if you think about it, you'll never be able to replace him. How well can you lose,
It's tough.
Yeah, you're right. That's whatever.
So before we move on to the Bruins, because we're about halfway through our half an hour, I wanted to bring up something that you and I were debating earlier.
Uh-huh.
I think this is a great debate, and everyone is talking about this right now. I want people to hear your input.
Go ahead. Who
is having the more impressive season? Peyton Manning with his all-stars or Tom Brady with his nobodies?
Well, just like you said, we talked about this before we came, you know, before we decided to record the show. Me, there's no doubt in my mind that it's Tom Brady. A lot of people will say, are you kidding me? Peyton Manning's having a career year. He's on pace to break the record, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Well, listen, when you've had star wide receivers your entire career, it's easy to make the stats that you have. Tom Brady has only had two star wide receivers on his team, and that was in 2007. And if you compare the record, he had a Peyton Manning year in 2007. He went undefeated, had over 50, he had 54 touchdowns and over 4,000 yards.
There's something else that you have to notice here too, and that's they played, they played a terrible New York Giants team. They played a terrible Oakland team. They played a pretty mediocre Philadelphia team. Baltimore was their only test, and they still ran up 49 points against them.
Right, and
so,
still though, if you can look at Baltimore and look at Sunday's game against the Bills. You know, Joe Flacco threw five picks, and they got their.
Did he throw five? Picks. Wait, how many picks did he throw?
Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
Five.
No.
Yeah.
You're exaggerating.
I'm not. He threw five interceptions.
Are you telling me that the top quarterback paid in football right now threw five picks?
I'm dead serious. Five interceptions. But that's not the point. I mean, you can look it up. I know you
can
say
that. Oh, my God. You're right.
I told you.
To the Bills?
To the Bills. Why would I make that up? Here's my point. Baltimore isn't exactly what everybody thought they were going to be. You know, they're not exactly impressive. The Broncos have yet to play a team that is going to give them a hard time.
But still,
yes.
16 touchdowns, zero interceptions, 1,470 yards.
Here's the thing. I'm not doubting Peyton Manning and his skill set. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played the game. But the question at hand is, who's having a better season?
Yep,
or that's the question. You know what I mean? And to me, it's clearly Tom Brady. He's taking nothing and making it something.
The fact that we're the worst 4-0 team in history. Everyone keeps on saying, oh, yeah, we're the worst 3-0 team. Oh, yeah, you're the worst 4-0 team. I'm like, I'm probably going to be the worst 5-0 team, too. Like, let's just, you know, let's be real here.
Let's think about that. Everybody says, yeah, we're the worst 5-0 or 4-0. It doesn't – at the end of the day, the New England Patriots are still winning games. It's a team game.
And nobody – I didn't expect them to win. I thought they were going to crumble.
I thought Atlanta would – we made a prediction last week that Atlanta was – No, New England was going to beat Atlanta only because I don't know about you, but I always picked the New England Patriots regardless, just because that's me being biased. But at the end of the game, when they first started out, and of course they kicked the ball off to Atlanta, Atlanta rushes right down the field.
Yeah, it's like,
here we go.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But yet the defense held into a field goal. So my answer to you is I believe Tom Brady is having the better year. Might not have flashy numbers, and might not be a Hall of Fame worthy year for him. But you know what? He's still winning games at this point. He put up 30 points on the Atlanta Falcons. That's that should be taking some of the pressure off his shoulders. I mean, he's got a lot of tests coming up. He's got New Orleans coming up.
That's gonna be a real good game.
That's gonna be a tough, tough game. He's got Miami still. Miami isn't that bad of a team. He still has the Broncos to play against, which I think if any team out there can give the Denver Broncos a hard time, it's going to be Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick has a winning record against Peyton Manning. He always knows how to disrupt him, at least somewhat. So I think that's going to be the true test for the Denver Broncos at this point. So, yes, to answer your question, I feel that Tom Brady is having the better year. What about you, Scott?
I mean, Right now, oh man.
Again,
Peyton is just playing such good football. And I know that he has guys who don't drop it and stuff, and he has, Demaryius Thomas, and he's got Wes Welker, and he's got Eric Decker.
I understand. Stats don't lie. I get it. But
he's just, he has such a, maybe this is because it's like watching an all-star clinic, but he has such an amazing command of the game right now. I understand that Tom, and, you know, I'm rooting for Tom. I'm rooting for Tom. I'm all for Tom Brady right now. Don't get me wrong. At the same time, like, Peyton Manning is just above and beyond what he, you know, I guess.
He's a machine.
There's something to be said for the fact that, you know, that Peyton, I mean, Tom Brady's still 4-0. But Peyton is just, the offense, the Broncos offense is just beastly. It's ridiculous. They've scored like above 40 points every game. I think they scored like 39 one game, but like still.
Yeah, well, they put up 52 points up against the Eagles.
49-27, 41-23, 37-21, 52-20. Like, these are Madden stats.
They're not Madden stats, though. Those are the stats that the New England Patriots were putting up on people the past 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's not unheard of.
I know, but these, if they continue on the pace they're on right now, like, whew, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think that if anyone's going to bring them down, it's going to be either, at this point, the Saints or the Pats. I mean, or Seattle.
Seattle, I'll give you, the Seattle Seahawks are looking, they're, granted, but still, they came back to win last Sunday in a game that they probably should not have won against the Texans, but boy, their defense is just.
Yeah. Richard Sherman, I hate the guy, but.
I hate the guy, but you know what? If he was wearing a Patriots.
God damn, jersey, I respect him.
Yeah. That boy can play. You know, Russell Wilson, wow. The kid. There's nothing else more you can say except the fact that you can respect and you see something good going on there. So, congratulations, Seattle. You actually have a team.
looking ahead to next week, I think the Pats are going to come out on top. I mean, we're playing the Bengals who lost to the Browns. So
I'll give old New England Patriot backup quarterback Brian Hoyer some props.
Yeah, shout out to he's not
a terrible quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but you know what, Cleveland, it looks like you found your little you're somewhat Tom Brady savior, I guess you could say. I mean, he's not going to win your Super Bowl, I'm sure, but.
I mean, he's playing well.
Well, actually, I take that back. If Trent Dilfer can win a Super Bowl, maybe Brian Hoyer can too.
Maybe. Yeah, you never know. But, last week they were ranked 6th in the power rankings. This week, 11th. You know, I think the Browns really exposed a lot of their weaknesses. I say Pats win this by at least 2 touchdowns.
I'll take that.
All right, so we got about 7 minutes. So that's efficient.
That way, that went on a long time. Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. We got like 5 minutes left, 7 minutes left. I just wanted to briefly talk about, the Bruins game, which it's, thank goodness is my favorite time of year. If you guys follow me on Twitter, which I hope that some of you do, at Bear Blooney, you will see how crazy I get in Bruins season with my tweeting.
Just to let everybody know, if you're not a fan of the Bruins and you are following Scott Bear Blooney, either
give you a Bruins
him.
Overload. Your whole Twitter feed.
Either block him or unfollow him.
Don't block me. But anyway, so again, we're gonna be looking at Tampa Bay. I'll be upfront with this. They don't match up in terms of depth with the Bruins. Bruins are a championship caliber team. You know, you have Steven Stamkos and Marty St. Louis, UVM alumni. Go Marty St. Louis. But they don't match up with, their second, their top three lines do not match up in terms of depth with our top three lines. You know, we have two all-star caliber lines, our first two, whereas they don't. You know, Steven Stamkos, Martin St. Louis, two great forwards, but at the end of the day,
well,
we have Iginla, Lucic, Krejci, who just earned the A. I think that Sean Thornton deserved it more, but, you know, that's another story. And then you have, you know, Erickson, Bergeron, and Marchand. Like, geez, man, I don't know. And then you look at the goaltender situation. You look at Anders Lindbäck. You know, not a fantastic goalie. You know, he played for a long time backup for Pekka Rinne. And, you know, he's not, you know, he has a 2.9 goals against average. Last year he was 10 wins, 10 losses. With a .902 save percentage, so those are not by any means outstanding numbers. And you pair him like against Tuukka Rask, and Tuukka Rask is going to win that battle. And then in terms of defense, I mean, we got, you know, Bruins defense. We've always been, you know, that's been the cornerstone of our game for the past five seasons. So
yeah, I mean, as long, I mean, with our defense, as long as you have Zdeno Chara on the ice with Johnny Boychuk and Dennis Einberg, you have a pretty solid defensive core there.
Yeah, and something I just wanted to bring attention to, the third line, which we were talking about last week, I was really shocked they're bringing Caron back, because he had a couple of opportunities to kind of prove his worth as a Bruin, and he has not been able to do so. So Soderberg is on the IR right now. He's injured. They're having Riley Smith, who we got in the Dallas trade. Thank you, Sagan. I don't know when we're going to hear thank you, Sagan chance. I know we heard a little bit of him and Louis Erickson scored, but which is weird.
That's weird.
No. Yeah.
Speaking of, I did want to kind of throw out, you know, because us Bruins fans love to thank Bill Kessel for everything. 8-year contract extension.
Like $64 million or something like that. Yeah.
8 years, $64 million contract extension.
Good for Kessel. You know, whatever, man. I mean,
hey, he got over the hump during the playoffs, man.
Despite me having to hate him because he's Phil Kessel, he's such a nice guy. Like, he really is. Like, all of his interviews are funny. He takes everything in stride. He did have a thing with the city of Boston, so that's why we kind of hate him. But at the same time, like,
but you know what's funny? That thing's gone now. That thing is in Dallas. So,
yeah.
Time to move on, Bruins fans.
Now it's thank you, Sagan, or thank you.
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, people could make an argument that through Sagan we got Erickson, so through Kessel we got. That's way too fast.
It's almost like the seven shades of Kevin Bacon or something like that.
I don't know. It's too. Wait, what? All right, but it's too complicated. But anyway, so Riley Smith, Jordan Caron, Chris Kelly. The third line is going to be where we need to. I mean, we have so many great players that are in the AHL organization, and you know, I think that it's going to be kind of a mix and match for the first kind of, you know, stretch of the season, seeing who works. But Riley Smith has a great opportunity to come in and do something big, and you know, he was a star at the University of Miami, Ohio, or my own, yeah, you know what I'm saying. And you know, he played with the Texas Stars last year, the AHL affiliate. He played 37 games with the Dallas Stars. You know, he looked promising in the preseason, so I'm ready to give this kid a look. I would have liked to see Spooner in his place, but, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. If he doesn't produce, you might. So that's, I mean, there you go. There's your Bruins talk for the week. We're very excited about the hockey season starting. I know Scott, he's bouncing around right now. He's excited.
Bruins will win this game by at least 2 goals, by the way.
Okay. Who has the winning goal? I'm saying Ginla.
I'm going to say Boychuk.
Boychuk?
Season.
With a Johnny Rocket?
Johnny Rocket. Oh, I can't wait.
Jack.
I can't wait to hear Jack Edwards' golden voice. Oh, my goodness.
Jack Edwards, we've missed you. All right, guys. So that's basically all the time we have now. Well, not now, for the show, I should say. Scott, why don't you go ahead and hey, it's off day, baby.
I don't know the whole thing to take us out of the show. I don't know. Follow people on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Listen to people. I don't know. Do the whole thing.
I can't do it, man. See, when the pressure's on, you can't go ahead and do it. All right. Well, like I said, everyone, that's much time as we have for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'd appreciate it if you went ahead and tuned in to Jonathan Ragus and Jim Williams for 24/7 Sports Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 p.m. Follow us at Facebook at Bear Blooney. Just kidding. New England Sports. 247. Find us on Facebook. You know, we're pretty easy to find. Go into that search bar, type us in, you'll find us. We need more follows. We need more readers, more listeners. Come to us. We'll entertain you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Come to us.